Oh, there's times I get discouraged, feel a little depressed. But Jesus comes and he'll say to me, son, let me take away all your stress. Well, there's things that my people don't realize. There's news that I want them to know, that the price I paid so they all could be saved, and my name Satan's got to let them go. Jesus, you're more than just Lord, you're my friend. Yes, Lord, you are my friend. Lord, you're the one that I confide in as these days come to an end. Jesus, you're more than just Lord. Jesus, you're my very best friend.
Well, good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It is February 16th, 2023. Cold day here at the Radio Ranch. It was minus 12 this morning, but you know, it's up to about 12. So we're good with that. That's a nice change. Well, thanks for joining us. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, where, like I said, it's a bit chilly outside, but the heat's on in here. And welcome. It is February 16th, live program tonight. Have some current events to talk to you about, to share with you, and hopefully some scriptures to make you think and encourage you a little bit. Hope that's how tonight goes. And we'll have the phone lines open, but we always try to open up with a word of prayer, and I hope that you do that very thing. And Also going to pray for my Christian brother Leon tonight, good friend out in Missouri, and he's got some health issues, and want to pray for him and for our brother Phil as well. And so I hope you'll join me. And so, well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time that you give us, Lord, this late in the evening, but this opportunity to gather together, Lord, to pull away from the television, to pull away from the news, to pull away even from maybe from those that might be all around us, Lord, but to gather together with like-minded Christians to, Lord, to serve you, to praise you, to honor you, to, Lord, to receive your blessings, to fellowship with one another, to read and hear from your word, and to be encouraged. And Lord, we need that each day. Father, we are bombarded hours and hours each day with the desires of the enemy and all that he puts before us. And so, Lord, thank you for this time to draw, to pull away from that and to draw closer to you and closer to one another. And to lift up, Lord, the needs of our friends and family, Lord. I pray for Brother Phil tonight as he is sorrowful over his wife Debbie, and Lord, I pray for our brother Leon as he is in the hospital, Lord, with these seizures and brain bleeds. And Lord, we lift him up to you, our brother Leon, for health and healing, Father, for your angels to be about him, to keep him safe and secure in the hospital, Lord. I pray your healing hand upon him. Lord, you know that he loves you and praises you every opportunity he gets. Father, I pray for his family, that you would strengthen them and draw them closer together, Lord. Increase their faith and let them grow in your grace and your knowledge. And Lord, again, for Brother Phil, I pray your peace and your comfort upon him. Let him know, Lord, that he doesn't go through this trying time, this sorrowful time alone, and that the saints are praying for him and that your Holy Spirit is there with him. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the peace that you give, for the hope that you give your followers, for the hope and the peace that you have given us, and the comfort you have poured out upon us in the past, Lord. We thank you for that. I pray your blessings on this broadcast, and that, Lord, that your people would turn, Lord, turn from their wicked ways and return to you. I pray that for this land and for those in this land that you've given us. And I do this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And we did get a quick prayer chain out. Been away from the office, been down working at the print shop today. But our brother Leon got a text that he had had a seizure and was in the hospital. And so we do ask you to pray for him. And again, keep our brother Phil in prayer as well. And did want to start out tonight. I'd mentioned, and I've sent several of these out. I'd mentioned it from the pulpit, but I got this email sent to us. It's a report on multiple studies, and it has the links to several of those studies showing that egg yolk antibodies block the binding of multiple SARS COVID-19 spike protein variants. And this was put out by Howard Rourke on February 1st, and it's made the rounds. And let's see, some of the, kind of stapled this backwards, but some of the reports, let's see where they were coming from. Several different places, National Institute of Health, University of California, Davis. Let's see. UC Davis Veterinary Medicine. Stanford University, University of Technology, Sydney. So if you'd like this article, I've got it printed. I can also email it to you. But again, it just shows it's nothing that we probably didn't expect. Or that maybe we didn't know this specifically, but anyway, It is just some good information to have, that basically egg yolk proteins help keep you from getting COVID. How about that? So I've got that report. Be glad to send it to you. I sent one out to Nevada the other day, and brother called or texted and said he got that, and looking forward to reading through that. And so we've got that if you'd like it. And that's what we try to do. Here at Scriptures for America, to keep you informed, to give you the tools that can help you, not only in leading a healthy, godly life, but in helping others to do the same things. Again, the phone lines are open tonight, Remnant, 307-745-5913, if you'd like to give a call. And a couple, some current events that it's just hard to get away from. If you listen to the radio, if you you get text, I get text sent and emails, and if you look at any of the media or even the social media, you just can't help but see it. And saw this headline: for the last 2 days, Russian warplanes have been encroaching in on Alaskan airspace and taunting NORAD and the U.S., whoever it is up there, Army Air Force, U.S. Armed Forces, like testing the waters. Who knows? And we see this periodically. It just with the unidentified objects, the China spy balloon debacle from earlier this month, and things like that that are happening in the world scene, it just kind of makes you sit up and take notice. At least it has with me. I've been looking through some news articles lately, and another thing that it seems to be popping up, and I haven't seen any specific reports on this, but North Korea food shortages. Those two things seem to be popping up if you dig into what's going on. North Korea talking about, they're having a reproduction shortage right now, baby shortage, so that they're offering more food if you will have another baby. And then I saw a report just a week or so ago that they were that their soldiers were on short rations. And so it just seems these little whispers in the wind that float around there. Anyway, you couple that with what's going on over in the UK, in the Middle, not the Middle, well, the Middle East is having their own troubles, but in the UK, or the European Union, not the UK, the European Union, between the Ukraine and Russia, and I don't know if anybody knows exactly what's going on over there. It is not very black and white, that's for sure. But it reminds me, and I think I've made mention of it possibly in the not too distant past, but of 1938, 1939 on the world scene, maybe 37 even, of these huge changes going on, and this war brewing, and these seemingly unrelated events going on worldwide, but here in this country as well. And so, again, with the incursions from China into this nation, we're seeing it with Russian planes as well. Certainly lots of rhetoric from Russia, maybe just blustering words. Who knows? But, North Korea's in there, and I know that's just they just got a fat little leader there. But they jump out pretty boldly at times. And if they're running short of food, again, there were issues like that, I think, with Japan in the late 1930s. Regarding food, needing to look elsewhere for food and land and resources. And I think that was one of the driving factors for their aggressiveness back then. And then when you look here, going on the goings on here in our country as well, the balloon debacle. Who knows what that is? More than likely, the country saying, or at least the government saying, hey, look up there, and don't pay any attention to our corrupt crime family and the corruption that's going on in the local, in the state, and the federal government. But the train derailments that we've had. Now, I looked into this, just had a minute, just got home real late today, but there were a little over 1,000 train derailments in 2022. And I think we've had, 3 major ones in the last, 10 days, 2 weeks? Of course, the one there in, where is it, East or West Palestine, Ohio, right on the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. I think that was a couple weeks ago, and of course the resulting toxic cloud and the water contaminant, the animals dying, and the federal government, the National Transportation Board, they're just ignoring it. And it's like they feel that they've caused it and things are moving just by plan, according to their plan, or I think they just are so inept that they are ignoring it. And if they don't report on it, they don't have to answer questions on it. They can just hem-haw around and hope it goes away. And so, had another derailment yesterday, I think in Detroit, Michigan, and I heard of a third one, but I didn't have a chance to look it up. Maybe if somebody knows, you give me a call and we'll talk about it a little bit. But mainly this. This is a pretty big deal. This is some nasty chemicals that have been released and then burned, creating this toxic cloud. And it's not just a tractor trailer accident that burns up a tank of gas or diesel. It's a bit more than that. You just can't help, if it just had happened by itself and there was a response of what you would expect a response to be National Transportation Safety Board and hazardous material cleanup and things like that. But there's not. And then when you go and you see that, I think was it last year, Netflix had a movie called White Noise. Horrible actors, trash talk, but some of the actors and I guess some of the what do they call it, extras that were in the movie live in this area there in Ohio where this train crash happened. And this movie is about this very thing, this family that, of course, it's a dysfunctional, screwed up family in the first place, but all of a sudden there's a huge train derailment and toxic chemicals have gone out everywhere and they have to leave their home. And it just, I just saw somebody sent me a link to just a blurb of it. But if you remember, our pastor taught on this, the things that he prophesied and he taught us and we are seeing them come to pass. And so they put this movie out last year knowing what they're going to do. See, the enemy has to tell you, they have to tell us what they're going to do. You know, it gets old if you pull off the crime of the century, but you can't take credit for it. You can't tell anybody about it. So they put out their exoteric messages for the masses, but there's always that esoteric, that hidden message in there as well. And I think it was like that with this stupid movie out there, White Noise. They put it out, and it's just as cornball-y as it can be, if you have any sense today. But they tell their story of a Midwest town that has to be evacuated and families have to be evacuated and all this that goes on because of a huge train derailment that blows chemical smoke everywhere and a big explosion and fire. And they do that. If you remember back many years ago, they did that very thing with the story, the old movie, cult classic, you might call it. It was filthy. Of They Live, where the church had discovered that there were aliens that looked like people until you put these special glasses on that the church gave you to where you could have eyes to see. Then you could see the aliens. And they had wrestlers as actors in there, and they're shooting them with shotguns and had the longest fight scene in one of the, I mean, it was just horrible movie. Terrible movie. I wouldn't recommend going to see it or getting it on DVD. And but they tell their story. They have to tell their story. We've just finished up the series Pastor Peters did. We just finished it up a couple weeks ago from church, replaying it as the They and Us series. And if you're not familiar with that, guess what? There's a they. We talk about they, and there's an us. And like that old movie showed, they live. And they think differently than we do. They serve a different God than we do. Anyway, I've seen the similarities in that and mentioned it to a couple people, and they've agreed. It is just another another mess that we get into for continuing to not, as a people, as a nation, repent and return to God. And so just some of the current events, you know, again, back nation across the world, 40,000 now reported dead in Turkey and Syria's horrific earthquake. They're calling it the disaster of the century. The Turkish president was, or Erdogan was saying, 7.8 magnitude earthquake. Just last week, over 40,000 people, thousands reported still missing, not getting a lot of coverage. And you know, I've heard, well, those people did this and those people do that. And, you know, I mentioned from the pulpit just a few weeks ago where Jesus talked about that very thing. And he said, do you think that those Galileans that were killed and whose blood was mingled with the sacrifice, do you think they were any less sinners than you? That was a current event of Jesus's day. And then he went on and said, oh yeah, remember that tower over in Siloam that fell and killed, what, those 18 people? Do you think they were any more guilty than you? And that's how we have to look at this, remnant. Do you think these in Turkey and Syria are any guiltier? That they've done less sin? Now, maybe they haven't had the law given to them. And, you know, maybe it's as a that it's not that they've sinned, but that it's that the glory of God would be made manifest, that his people would see this and cry out to him. Do we think that way ever? Do we? You know, Romans 8:18 tells us, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed with us. And we have, if your heart can't go out to 40,000 dead, we have these trials, we have these tribulations in our times, these perilous times, and you know, we keep talking about them because we keep seeing them. We keep seeing them, right? What's the Bible say? The sword without and peril within. Michigan State just had another shooting the other day. What, two or three killed, five wounded by this man with mental issues that in 2019 was arrested, the same thing, with a concealed weapon, wanting to go harm people. And he's black, and so they just slapped him on the wrist and said, oh, well, we'll just let him go with no bail, no problem. Just turn him back loose. Till now, when he goes and kills people. And it's the guns problem. You know, when Cain killed Abel with the rock, nobody blames the rock. Nobody blamed the rock then, but they sure try to now. Anyway, peril outside and inside. James 1. Let's take a look. James 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers. Count it joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so, the Bible is full of encouragement for us during these difficult times, these troubling times that we're in. And I hope, Remnant, I hope that you are turning to those. I hope that you are. Psalms 50, verse 15. Psalms 50, verse 15, this is encouraging to me. It says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. This is God talking to you and me right now today. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Do we do that? Remember the 10 that were healed? The 10, was it lepers that were healed? And one came back. And Jesus said, where's the rest? When we call upon God in the day of trouble. Now, you can't ignore him for the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And then call on him and expect it. You may get it. It's better to stay in touch. And we are in the days that we are in, the events that are happening, from balloons to massive invasion from the South. Millions of who? The poor, tired, wretched that just want a better life? Or the hundreds of thousands of military age healthy young men and women that have come across, invading our nation? Let's look at Psalms 27. Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It says, when evildoers assail me, it is they who will stumble and fall. And a little bit later it says, yet I will be confident. Working on a prayer out of Psalms 27. So I ask for your prayers that I've got time in the inclination and the leading of the Holy Spirit to do that, to put together. We need a new prayer for February to cry out to our God. But we just have to make sure that we don't lose heart, that we remember the blessings of our God. We remember his promise to us. Again, Remnant, the phone lines are open. Halfway through the program already. Wow, time's flying. 307-745-5913 if you'd like to give a call in. Working on my bottle of water here. Have you heard Kentucky is getting a little interesting out there in Kentucky? I've seen this from several different places, printed a little article out. Revival breaking out at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. What started out as a scheduled prayer meeting has now extended for more than a week. Looks like it's grown to be a, here's a quote, around-the-clock prayer, testimonials, scripture reading, praise and worship of Jesus Christ by hundreds of college students, faculty, staff, community members, and out-of-towners. It says here, for more than 150 hours and counting, Q's Auditorium there at Asbury University in Kentucky, which has a seating capacity of nearly 1,500, has been abuzz with nonstop prayers of confession, repentance, intercession, and adoration. What is being described as a spontaneous outbreak of revival, followed by a chapel message from Romans chapter 12 about confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Praise God! Lord, let us fall to our knees and lift holy hands and praise you for this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We have prayed for repentance. We have prayed for revival, Lord. We have pushed and promoted and tried to live 2 Chronicles 7:14, Lord, knowing your promise is there, your word holds true. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you. And this article goes in and talks about different awakenings and says a professor there says, the sweet spirit of adoration of the Lord. That is what is marked the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Started February 8th, and by 8 p.m. on the 13th, the auditorium was filled to capacity. Two other chapels across the street on the school's seminary campus were full of worshipers. One quote here is praise and worship, but it's going 24/7. It says, we are responding to our Maker. We're responding to His love. And that's what it feels like. It feels like love. The presence of God is love. Anyway. Says here, the prayer has even spread, the report said, to students from the University of Kentucky, the University of the Cumberlands, Purdue University, Indiana Wesleyan University, Ohio Christian University, Transylvania University, Midway University, Lee University, Georgetown College, Mount Vernon Nazarene University, and more. Praise God. Praise God. Here's a quote from Mia, a student, says, people are coming from all over. They don't want to be anywhere else but here. She says, it's like, I'm a big Eagles fan. I didn't even watch the Super Bowl. I've been able to surrender things that I didn't even know I would be able to surrender. Remnant, I hope that you can say praise God for that. I hope that you can, because, you know, I think that these people are realizing. They talk about love in this. They talk about love in here and that God is love and the heart of God is love and all that. But, you know, we've talked about it before. On the flip side of that coin, and I think people know it, is hate. Hate of sin and judgment. And, you know, as true followers of Jesus Christ, we see and we read about and we know that His judgment is coming. When we see, oh God, when we see that 40,000 people have died, when we in earthquakes, that the earth swallowed them up, rolled and rumbled what we thought was a good solid foundation and killed them. We see that judgment. Many people feel that. Who can withstand the day of the Lord? We have to be ready. We see these things happening before our eyes. We read in Luke the last few weeks that these things, they will present an opportunity for our testimony, for us to share His word, who His people are, the true biblical plan of salvation with those in our circles. As we see this, especially those in this land, losing hope, continuing to just get, well, as we see things get worse and worse, okay? Isaiah 33, verse 14 says, sinners in Zion are terrified. You know, people are terrified today. People are terrified today. They're terrified of balloons, and they're terrified of COVID. I was talking with some men down at the print shop today, and the last couple days, 3 days actually, and talking about how, you know, people have went and got 7, 8, 9 shots to keep from getting COVID. Then they get leukemia and die in less than a year. These people are terrified, but the Bible tells it. And that's Isaiah 33, remnant. You know, mark that one down for you. Isaiah 33, verse 14, sinners in Zion are terrified. So if people are terrified today, you can ask them, why? Why are you terrified? Oh, COVID. Oh, China balloons. Oh, who knows what? Sinners are terrified. And then it says, trembling has seized the godless. So hopefully with love, if you've got somebody that is terrified, that are just, you might say, shaken in their boots, and there's many. We all know people that are like that. There's many that are like that. And if all you do is look at the Russian planes and flying over Alaska and the toxic cloud floating over Ohio and Pennsylvania, and that we have been invaded by millions from the South, and inflation is worse than it's ever been, there's plenty to be terrified about. There's plenty to make you tremble. But we're told not to. We're told not to be terrified. We're told to be what? Strong and courageous, steadfast. And then in Isaiah 33, it says, who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with continual burning? And of course, it's symbolic there, that continual fire and burning of the judgment that the birth pangs that are happening upon us that we're experiencing today. But see, then it answers that question, because the Bible does that. That's what the scriptures do. That's what God does for us. He answers our questions. And even if he asks the question of us, he answers it for us. Isaiah 33, verse 15. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with continued burning? And I picture you, remnant, us sharing this with our friends and family that might be terrified or might be trembling and scared. Who? Verse 15. He who walks righteously. That's who. He who walks righteously. And we know there is no righteousness apart from Christ. And that whatever right we only can be righteous in him. And it's his righteousness that he shares with us. And it says, he who speaks with sincerity. You know, we don't speak insincere. No. We are very sincere with this. This is a matter of life and death. Who can live like this? He who rejects unjust gain. He who says, no, I'm not going to take advantage of you. I'm not going to do it. He who rejects unjust gain. He who shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe. Nope. We have just weights and scales, right? Just balances. If it costs $4, it's $4. If it costs $400, it's $400. If it costs $4,000, it's $4,000. This is God's law. This is part of it. Back in Isaiah, who can stand when the godless are trembling? Who can stand when the sinners are terrified? Well, you better not be godless if you want to stand. And you better not be willfully sinning and openly embracing that which God hates. Who? He who stops his ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. We're told to turn from those things and to focus on what is good and right and holy. That's what we're told to do. He who will live with the among the consuming fire, and he who can live with continual burning, who walks righteously, he will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be the impregnable rock. And that is our refuge today. Our only refuge, our only hope, that rock of Jesus Christ. It goes on and says, his bread will be given him. Now, that's not talking about a welfare line. That's not talking about just sit on the couch and play video games and somebody will come deliver you all the food you need. We understand that. But the Bible says that the righteous won't beg bread. It says here, his bread will be given to him. His water will be sure. His water will be sure. So even back in Isaiah, we don't, you know, the law is given. The difference, the contrast there between the sinners who are terrified and those that aren't. Between the trembling that has overtaken the godless and those that haven't, or those that it hasn't. How can we make sure our bread is given? How can we make sure that our water will be sure? We do our best to walk righteously, according to Isaiah 33. We do our best to speak with sincerity. We do our best to reject unjust gain and take no bribe. We stop our ears from hearing about bloodshed and we shut our eyes from the evil around us. We look elsewhere. We do our best to do that. Doesn't mean we don't hear about the bloodshed of the 40,000 killed in the earthquakes. No, I think we should be tender-hearted about that. And we should pray. For the survivors. I sure think we are in the timing, some of the timing of the last days. You know, the Bible talks about how the church is to be, how the ecclesia, how the called out ones, how we are to be in the last days. 2 Timothy 3 talks about that, right? In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. We've read that time and time again. It talks about, and we're told to avoid those, right? In verse 5, the Apostle Paul says that those people have an outward appearance of religion, right? They look and appear and sound religious, but they're godless, a form of godliness, but without the power. And we see that around us. we can pray for them to repent. I don't know what else we can do. You know, do our best to be a good living example to them. But that's about as far as it seems like that can go. You know, the word tells us that even if Moses and Elijah were here, they could only save themselves. And that holds true for each and every one of us. It does. It does. But when we read through these scriptures, when we see these positive events like this apparent revival breaking out, praise God, praise God. I think it shows that there is, at least in some parts, a sense of repentance in the land, a sense of a desiring to grow closer to God. And when we see it, let's not pick it apart. Let's not pick it apart because, you know, they, for whatever reason, they didn't have every jot and tittle just perfect. Let us rejoice that there's some that are repenting and returning to God and praising Him for it. And that's a good thing. I do. I think that that is a, pardon me, I think that that is a good positive in the days that we're living in. Well, Remnant, that's about all I got. It's got a few minutes left. I think we'll go out with some Mike Platt J. I've mentioned it to you before. I've got both Mike Platt J CDs. If you're interested in them, we'd be glad to share them with you. We've got them here. His Bow Down CD, and then I Felt Your Love. And I think that's what I'll go out with. So if you'd like him, you contact us. I got to meet Mike Platt J. He, humble man, loved the Lord, was taken from us, it sure seemed like, way too early. But I enjoy his music, and I hope you do too. Want to thank you for joining us. We sure appreciate your prayers, Remnant. Know that we pray for you and would be glad to pray for you. Should be in the office tomorrow working on mail. So if you want to give me a call at the office, I'll be in there tomorrow. Do want to invite you to put a little time aside this weekend. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. 7 o'clock Mountain, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Coffee with the Wranglers right here at scripturesforamerica.org. And then Sunday morning as well. I'm putting a message together to bring to you from the pulpit on Sunday. And so I hope you'll join us there at scripturesforamerica.org as well. God bless, and we'll talk to you Saturday morning.
Questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Pray to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
There ain't much that the devil can do. It's written he's been defeated. Jesus took away his keys. He said the gates of hell cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.